Live waste! God raised up this man named Nehemiah. He was the cupbearer to the king, Artaxerxes. God gave him a plan. He prayed over it for months. He finally made the presentation there to the king. And he goes back down to Jerusalem with all his entourage. He's got letters for timber. He knows that he's got a plan. Imagine that. And he presents his plan to the king, even sets a time when he's going to come home and so forth and so on. And you go read Nehemiah 3. I'm not going to take the time of hurrying up. And you're still listening awfully quickly, aren't you? I have a bad habit of talking too fast and too loud. Anyway, so in Nehemiah chapter 3, what the point I'm after here is, he lists in Nehemiah 3 everybody that worked on that wall. He says so-and-so worked here, and next to him was so-and-so, and next to him was so-and-so, and then on the fish gate worked so-and-so. And all the way around that whole thing, all the people that were working. Isn't that a sight? And then in Nehemiah chapter 4, he even says the people had a mind to work. To do what? To work. That's an unpopular word. I'm going to go ahead and say this. I want you to know I was raised an Old Baptist. I'll never be anything other than an Old Baptist if they'll have me. Okay? If they'll have me, I aim to go down fighting. With my gray hairs into the grave. Okay? There's a hymn in this book, and I'm not trying to be critical. I'm usually not critical of songs. There's no such thing as a perfect hymn. Some songs have mistakes in them, you know, we just have to overlook that. But you know this song here in this book says, "We'll wait till Jesus comes"? It's number 244. I can't understand why they had to change. You know what the actual wording of that hymn is supposed to be? "We'll work till Jesus comes." We'll work till Jesus comes. But they changed it to wait. I wonder why they felt obligated to do that. The people had a mind to work, not wait. They'd been waiting for 100 years. They had a mind to work. Every time I think about that, we'll wait. We'll wait? Well, my goodness. You drive up. Here's what I think about. You drive up to an ATM, right? You drive up, put your card in there, you ask for $50 if you got it. $100 if you do. I don't know. But you enter that number, and it says, "Please wait," as if you have a choice. Please wait. Well, I mean, of course I'm going to wait. You've no choice but to wait. I want you to know tonight, we've no choice but to wait till Jesus comes. May God help us to get to work. Until Jesus comes. Understanding heaven is not hanging in the balance. But I'm telling you right now, the glory of God is. You say, how can that be? I want you to know tonight, there are people in Arkadelphia, Arkansas that ought to be going to Macedonia Church and giving God all the glory for salvation, but they're not because they've never heard of us. And they never heard the truth. And the reason they haven't is because we're waiting until Jesus comes. Nehemiah said the people had a mind to work. But now look here, I do want to read to you Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 15. And then I'm going to turn to the New Testament and come to the heart of the matter and get through with this. I appreciate your attention. You're an absolutely wonderful congregation. Nehemiah 6, verse 15. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul in 52 days. Now this was no small thing they have done in only 52 days. You want to know why they could do it in 52 days? They had a mind to work. That's why. And half the time they were up there on the wall building with one hand and carrying a sword in the other one. Because the enemies, by the way. Let me tell you something right now. You may think, well, when we get busy working for the Lord, y'all going to send me packing for saying that? When we get busy working for the Lord, and yes, I want to work for the Lord. I want you to know I want to go down my life working for the Lord. I want to spend and be spent. Minister.
ministering to the Lord's little children in the name of the Lord. I want you to know I can't give Christ a cup of water, but I can give one of His little children a cup of cold water.
May the Lord help us to see it. They were working, and they hadn't been there hardly any time at all till there was a bunch, Sanballat and Tobiah, who rose up, and they were against it. They were against rebuilding. They were against doing any good. They were against it, if you know what I mean. And that makes me think of over there in 1 Corinthians when Paul is talking. He says, a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. I want you to know tonight, when we get busy working for the Lord, there's going to be many adversaries. Are you listening? That's why you have to have the strength of the Lord to go on. Let me tell you who the number one adversary is going to be. Number one adversary. I am my worst enemy. When it comes to serving God, I am my own worst enemy. Any of y'all had any kind of experience similar to that? I get to thinking about things I ought to do. Next thing I know, I forgot it. You say, well, if you forgot it, you don't remember you ever knew it. Well, that's true. But I mean, you know, I don't ever get it done. Okay. Now, here in Nehemiah, I was reading one night. So the wall was finished in 52 days, and it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. It's the sword of the Lord and Nehemiah and all those people listed in chapter 3. You hear me? They could not have done this work in 52 days without God being with them, but they could not have done it either if they had all sat around in the rubble. The sword of the Lord and of Gideon, the sword of the Lord and of Moses, the sword of the Lord and Nehemiah, the sword of the Lord and David. Y'all get the idea? All right, now, my text. I've got 15 minutes according to when we started. Y'all going to allow that, aren't you? I think I'm right. Isn't that right? Maybe I won't take 15 more minutes. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16. Verse 17. Of course, this is after the Lord has asked them, whom say men that I, the Son of Man, am? He asked the brethren, said, who is everybody? Who are these people? Who do they say I am? Who do they think I am, anyhow? And they said, well, some say you're Jeremiah, some John the Baptist, some Elias, and some other prophet. And then he said, whom say ye that I am? That's a great question. Tonight, do you just believe that Jesus Christ was a good man that went around teaching, but he wasn't the Son of God? Or do you believe that he was the Son of God? You believe he was virgin born? I believe he was virgin born. I believe he was born without a sin nature. I believe he was the Son of God manifest in the flesh. I believe he came through the lineage of Abraham, through the lineage of David. I believe he was born king. A lot of folks can't understand why he was born king. I'm going to tell you, he was born king because he was king before he was born. That's how. And he was born a Savior. Matthew 1:21, my favorite verse. And she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, which means Savior. I want you to know God named him Savior. God did. Why? For he, plus nobody, plus nothing, he shall save his people, that's unconditional election, his people, from their sins. That's eternity. Woo, that's good, isn't it? He shall save his people from their sins. I want to ask you tonight, do you believe he did it? I believe he did it. In fact, I know he did, because God never would have raised him from the dead if he hadn't. Woo! And he's not going to use men to populate heaven, but I'm telling you, he uses men. Listen. He uses men. God uses men to populate His kingdom here in the world. Simon, whom say ye that I, the Son of Man, am? And Jesus said, and Simon said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is heaven. By the way, I want to interrupt myself on verse 17. I want to ask you a question. Don't you imagine Peter had heard the Lord teach before this? You bet. Don't you imagine Peter had heard some preaching of Christ before this time? Why, yeah. He'd been with the Lord for 2.5-3 years by now. He'd heard the Lord teach, heard the Lord preach, seen the Lord do miracles. I mean, he'd been right with him all that time. He'd seen it and heard it and witnessed it. But here the Lord says, God revealed it unto him. Listen to me tonight. It is a true statement that nobody's going to understand the truth unless God reveals it to them. That's true. But let me ask you tonight, how is it that God normally does that? How does God normally work in revealing the truth to His children? Through men. Through the gospel. Through the ministry of the Word. That's the way I learned it. That's the way you learned it. Am I right? If you're here tonight and you believe in the doctrines of grace, it's because somebody has preached it to you and taught it to you. Probably for nigh on to 97 years now. Reckon. It's the sword of the Lord and of Gideon, the sword of the Lord and David, the sword of the Lord and Nehemiah. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Now the Lord there says, I will build it. My question to you tonight, this is leading up to, how is He going to build His church? How? That's a pretty good question, isn't it? Is the Lord going to build it by Himself? If the Lord wants them in the church, they'll be in the church. Is that true or is that not true? I'm telling you tonight, the Lord wants them in the church. Y'all hear me? You say, well, if the Lord wants it, it'll happen. I'm talking about it's His will for every born-again person in what country, what county we're in. I don't know what county we're in. Howard County? Is that right? Montgomery County. All right, I'm going to tell you what I believe about it. I believe the Lord wants every born-again soul in Montgomery County to be a member of this church. Is that too radical? You say, well, they got to believe the truth. Amen. How are they going to get there? I want y'all to know it's the sword of the Lord and the New Testament church. Can you hear me tonight? Can you believe what I'm telling you? He said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it and so forth. Now then, turn over right quick to show you 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I'm going to close out with a few verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If you'll read with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And while you're turning there, let me remind you, we find out in Acts chapter 18, if you read Acts chapter 18, you find out that Paul was the one that started the church at Corinth. Okay? Paul went to Corinth, preached to the people, and stayed there with that church for 1 year and 6 months. That's in Acts chapter 18. All right? I want to ask you, who did the Lord use to plant the church at Corinth? Did the Lord plant the church at Corinth without using a man? Or did the Lord plant the church at Corinth using a man? Y'all see it? When it came to planting the church at Corinth, it was the sword of the Lord and the Apostle Paul. Let me read it to you here. Now, go read Acts chapter 18, first, I don't know, dozen, 15 verses. And look here now in 1 Corinthians 3. Of course, what's going on in the church at Corinth? They got a big problem. They got preacher worship in the church at Corinth. That's one of the worst things you can have. Preacher worship. It makes no sense, but the flesh is stupid, remember? The flesh is stupid, and it'll do stuff that don't make any sense. And there's a kind of a seam in the church of Corinth here. Some of them say, well, I'm of Paul. And others, I'm of Apollos. Got the Paulites and the Apollosites or whatever. I don't know. Well, here Paul's trying to straighten them out on that issue, okay? They got a lot of problems other than that, don't they? I mean, there's a lot of problems in the church of Corinth.
I sure would not want to have been called as pastor of that church.
Good grief. I mean, all the problems they had? Mercy.
But apparently they were still a church. God's sending them a message here. By the way, how did God get the message to him? He used a man to write this letter to him. He used a man to send this letter to him.
Are y'all seeing what I'm saying tonight?
All right, here in 1 Corinthians 3 now. He tells them they're carnal because of this attitude they've got of preacher worship. It says in verse 4, "For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal?" That's not spiritual logic. That's fleshly. It's not good. Worship God. "Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed?" You see that? Ministers by whom ye believed. So apparently it was the sword of the Lord and Paul and Apollos that helped get those people at Corinth to believe. Y'all see that? "Even as the Lord gave to every man, I have planted." Acts 18. "Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." See that? Now, Paul is not bragging here. Paul is not bragging. He's stating facts. I planted the church at Corinth. God used Paul to start the church at Corinth. Maybe Apollos was the man that came in there after Paul left after 18 months. I don't know. But Apollos came along and watered what got started. But never forget God gave the increase. I want you to know it was the sword of the Lord and the Apostle Paul at Corinth. You see it? I'm not talking about populating heaven. Okay? "So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." Verse 9, "For we are laborers together with God." We are laborers together with God. Contextually, he's saying Apollos and I are laborers together with God. But I'm telling you tonight, the New Testament church is supposed to be laboring together with God for the salvation of God's born-again, heaven-bound, blood-bought children. Are you with me? Well, let me just tell you something as I close. If you'll go back and read in the book of Exodus, there was a period in time when they got ready to build the tabernacle. I think this is in Exodus 35, if I remember correctly. They got ready to build the tabernacle, and they started gathering material to build the tabernacle. And Moses said, "Everybody that's of a willing heart, everybody that's willing, bring stuff and we'll build the tabernacle." And they brought so much stuff that eventually they had to say, "Okay, we got enough and more than enough. You can quit bringing stuff now." Even in those days, God used men to build His house. God uses men to build His house. I want y'all to know, when those people brought it in Exodus chapter 35, it was voluntary. You do not have to do what I'm encouraging you to do tonight. I'm encouraging you to share the truth with anybody that you have a chance to share it with. I'm encouraging you to tell others how great things God has done for you. I'm encouraging you to know enough about the Word of God that you can defend what you believe and share it with others. Not in an offensive way. Not in an offensive way. Because I'm going to tell you right now, you can tell the truth in such a mean way, nobody wants to hear it. Tell it in love. Beg God to be with you. Beg God for opportunity. And start with your children and grandchildren. And I close with that. Thank you very much. You've been a wonderful congregation tonight. May God bless you.